Welcome to Mindfully Integrative Podcast with your host, Dr. Damaris G. Mindfully Integrative is a podcast discussing ways toward mindfully incorporating integrative health into our lives. This podcast will have informative resources, fun topics, interviews, and discussions relatable for today with a true mindful perspective in a mind-body holistic life approach.
Hello. This is Dr. Damaris Maria Grossman, and thank you again for joining in on the Mindfully Integrative Podcast. And I just wanted to let you know of our upcoming events and things. So if you want to know and reach out, our resources and our membership is opening soon. So check out mindfullyintegrative.com for more fun and more info. Thanks so much, and talk with you soon.
Hi, how are you? This is the Mindfully Integrative Podcast, and I am your host, Integrative Family Nurse Practitioner, Dr. Damaris G. And today we are having a mindful chat with a great friend of mine, Jessica. She's a board certified family nurse practitioner with 18 plus years. But not only that, she is an erotica coach and sex holotropic practitioner. She'll tell you a little bit more about it, but it's pretty cool. And it's another way to kind of think more mindfully. You know, sometimes we're afraid to talk about sex, but Jessica isn't. So I can't wait for you guys to meet her. And thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, great. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, of course. I want people to, you know, first before, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm all right.
You're good on this day,
I'm a solid okay. Solid good.
Yeah. Hey, that's pretty straightforward for the day, With kids, life is always something.
Yeah.
So how tell us about what I was talking about, generally speaking. Or first off, what do people not know about you? Something really fun fact they don't know about you.
Well, I just want to clarify one thing. So I have not been a nurse practitioner for 18 years. I've been
But in the nursing field.
Yeah. Or in the wellness field, because before I became a nurse, I was a doula and I taught yoga for a long time. And so,
you're in the well-rounded wellness field.
Yes, So I like to, I just like to make that. But something that people don't know about me, I used to be a bodybuilder.
What? That's kind of cool. See, something I would never thought of ever.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, so that was in high school. So I was dancing at the time, and then I started lifting weights because I just love the concept of just being really physically strong. I've always liked working with my body and being really strong. And I could gain a lot of muscle very quickly. So it was just something that I enjoyed doing and kind of watching my body change and watching like my lat spread get bigger. And
oh, wow. Did you compete?
So I was supposed to compete in bench pressing competitions, but I did not.
Oh my.
Because I left Chicago. I'm originally from Chicago. I left Chicago and came to New York to go to college. And, when I did that, I didn't have Zazie. I had my own like trainer, which was not as, that sounds like really what trainers are today is not what they were back then in the 1900s. It was called CFC, Chicago Fitness Center. And it was this tiny shoebox like gym with really, really sweaty guys who were, they were so big that they couldn't walk kind of thing.
Oh my God.
Zazie was not getting, it was not a $100+ an hour investment back then. It was something that I could afford with my food running money. So it was a very different thing, but she was French, and she was Miss Natural Illinois over 40, and she would wear fishnet stockings and thong leotards.
And, oh my God.
And it was wild. It was wild.
It was that's great. Hilarious.
That's something that people don't know about me. And I still like lifting weights. I still like working with my body. on a daily basis and just seeing where my strengths and my weaknesses are. It's really amazing.
I'm probably not nearly as strong as you, but I definitely like to lift weights. Helps with the, you know, losing. I feel like it really helps with muscle tone and getting rid of the fat.
It does. But I think it also does something. You know, I was once working with a client who was going through some struggles with in parenting, and they were parenting a teenager. They still are parenting this person, right? Because that never ends. But the teenager was really struggling emotionally. Mm-hmm. And our conversation, and the interesting thing is that I had met this person when they were pregnant with this teenager, and I was their yoga teacher. Right?
Oh,
wow. I was a old yoga teacher, and they had come back and I was working with them. And what I knew is that what we kind of discovered together is that they really needed to be super grounded in their bodies and by being super grounded in their bodies and being grounded in who they were and their power, they could parent better and they could hold space for their child who was really, really struggling, and lifting weights was a part of that, you know.
That's amazing.
And starting and lifting weights and
give them like a foundation.
Yeah. To actually feel, because sometimes we can talk about all of these mindful ideas and kind of, you know, like wellness, you know, discussion and, you know, right. Dance as if nobody's watching and all these kind of things and love yourself. And
you know, yeah, I mean, that's the whole, yeah, you want to be real about it. Like, cause some people are like, oh, this is hard. Like, you know, I just had a listener, I mean, a little off topic too, but kind of in that it's not all perfect rainbows. Like someone just wrote me and I wanted them on the show. And she was like, oh, I don't know if I fit your show. And I'm like, it's not about being perfect. It's not about like, hey, love. And I'm a big love and heart-centered person, but I want you to be who you are. And being aware, self-awareness is the real shit.
Yeah. That's it. Right. But in this particular case, sometimes you really just need to have like the physical manifestation. Mm-hmm. So like when we think about the concept of embodiment, right? Because I'm like writing a thing right now and this whole idea of embodiment. And it's a phrase that in certain wellness spaces is really thrown out a lot. I'm really embodying this, the embodiment of that. So I looked up that word. What does that mean? Does it mean being in the physical body? No, it does. It can. But really what it means is taking an idea or a feeling and making it this tangible thing, right? So I'd have to look it up, but you know, if something's lovely and how do you embody loveliness? You know, maybe it's a floral design or something, I don't know. But
it's making something emotional or a feeling tangible.
Exactly. So in this particular client's instance, we could talk about what it is to be a mother and mothering and the feminine essence, or, you know, being in your personal strength. And, you know, she's a very strong, has a real deep understanding of like feminist inquiry and the language around it and the movement around it. But she needed to lift weights to embody that, right? To make that tangible, that concept of being strong and being grounded for her child by lifting fucking weights.
No, but that's amazing. Like, but that was her way of grounding. You know, sometimes people need to run. Sometimes people, you know, whatever that is to like get their energy out, whatever their stuff that they're dealing with in their, like that's heavy on them. That was a way. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. And that's just some of the work that we would do where it just came up. Like, how about lifting some weights to feel strong for your child? Like you literally feel strong.
Yeah, anyway. Literally.
Yeah.
Cool. So, no, I love it. I mean, I love this, just this one little part already that I find about you, and you haven't even dived into all your other cool stuff. So tell me how, you know, I know that you're a nurse practitioner, but you know, tell me a little bit about how you kind of came to this erotica coach and this sex kind of conversation in your practice. What exactly was that for you? How did that come up? Or was there a transition that even made you into this wellness? Like you said, you were a yoga teacher. What exactly kind of got you into wellness and then this into this sex kind of thing? That could be a loaded question, but I figured you probably had enough to say about it.
Yeah. I mean, I can try and make it really short.
No, you don't have to. I'd rather you discuss it with me. And, you know, this podcast can be as long or short as we need it to be. So
when I was a kid, like a 5-year-old kid, I could sit and watch Madame Butterfly, the opera on PBS. Like I loved it. And I also loved Nova's The Miracle of Life.
Okay. I remember that.
And I like to take things apart. So I wanted to be an opera singer that was a mechanic and an obstetrician gynecologist, right? That's what I wanted to be as a child.
That's quite intense.
Yeah, I'm an intense person. So when I was teaching yoga at, I decided at one point I was in a relationship and I decided, well, maybe it's time to start to think about having children. And I was very into, I don't even know how it worked. I don't even know if I became a doula first and then thought about becoming a nurse, but I'll become a midwife. So I decided to become a doula to get experience around birth. Right. To kind of prepare.
Oh, to kind of get like into that, because you were into upset to see if you wanted to be like a midwife or or go to MD school.
Yeah. Or what I was going to do. I knew I wasn't going to go to medical school. Right.
Okay.
I knew that was not going to happen because at that point I had already I just knew that was not going
to
happen.
That wasn't in your cards, but you wanted to be close to birth.
Yes.
Okay.
I realized in nursing school, like towards the end of nursing school, that I was not going to become a midwife.
Okay.
Like, I just put all the pieces together from being a doula for quite some time and then going to nursing school, I realized I was not going to become a midwife. Mm-hmm. And I describe it as like you're in a long-term relationship with somebody that you really love. You really love them, but you just know that you're not going to marry them. Like,
yeah.
You know, like it's pumped it. Like, this is great and this is painful, but you've got to, like, this is not going to work out. Like, it was literally that painful for me.
Oh, and right? It's just kind of one of those things where, like, that's just not your thing. Like, you know that you love you like being around it, but you don't want it as your job.
Yeah. I just realized it was just not going to be my thing. So I became a med-surg nurse. And I loved it because a lot of people don't love medical.
No, I didn't love med-surg nursing. Yeah, so you're the opposite of me. Yes.
Yeah. No, most people don't love it. Most people avoid it. But somebody said, you know, everyone wants to always do a specialty, just do med-surg. And this unit went from like ortho to GYN, urology, GI, just general medical. I mean, we ended up getting everybody's kind of scraps, right? Mm-hmm.
So you learned everything.
We learned everything.
Right.
And from there, I started to talk about sex because I started to, and I think that it started with this young woman who kept getting these horrible recurrent UTIs. And I think she might have had pyelonephritis. I'm not sure. So like real kidney.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But I remember talking to her quietly and asking her with her partner was there with her, and saying, are you having anal sex? And she was quiet. And I said,
that's not a normal question you just asked, but yeah. I think you were just kind of like trying to dive into like some solving, right?
Yeah. And I was like, because if you are, which is great, you are not to be having vaginal penetration after anal penetration with any penis, fingers, tongue, nothing. And it was like a light. She's like, really? I didn't know that. And that
that's not a normal conversation that everybody even asks anyway. And I think she didn't have any clue, did she? She didn't know. She didn't put it together. How did you tell her?
But she did.
Explained it to her.
She did. She did put it together. Right. And it was like one of those things that, you know, you just kind of have this, you know, one of the beauties of like I have ADHD, right? That I discovered way late. And one of the beauties with having that is that sometimes you get this impulse to say something, like you get this inspiration, or like in the wellness space, download, you know, of information, right?
Yeah.
And it like occurred to me, ask her about sex.
Because the intuition kind of hit you, like you knew that that's something.
Yeah, the intuition hit me and I did not overthink it. And I just said, like, are you having anal sex?
Yeah.
And they come and, you know, and I was like, you got to sweep it out of the kitchen. I was like, it's fine. If you really love, if it feels better to have anal penetration before vaginal penetration, that's great. However, you must use a barrier method. Then if you're not using a barrier method, if you are using a barrier method for both, you must change the barrier method. You must change the condom. Right. If you are not using a barrier method for vaginal penetration or vice versa, obviously there's a lot of discussion of please use a barrier method.
Yeah. And also the germs.
Right. But, and there, they were having a monogamous relationship. They were tested, you know, they were doing fluid exchange. They were in a place where they were having fluid exchange with each other and pregnancy was not an issue for them as well. This was a male body partner, female body partner, or as my coach says, any peeper, outie peeper, you know, combination. And, you know, talking about removing the condom, if you're going to start with anal penetration, please use a condom, remove that condom before you proceed into vaginal penetration, you know. And then I said, you know, ideally if you're going to start with vaginal, I suppose you could go straight into anal penetration. That is fine. But, you know, it gets more nuanced and you have to know who they are and what they're doing.
Right.
But, I mean, that was maybe my first conversation.
Wow. That's not a small conversation. I not that I don't have those general conversations, but I don't go dive deep into every little, you're nuanced to be able to discuss that on the, not that I don't say, hey, have you had an anal, you know, are you doing, you know, anal and vaginal, because I'm trying to find out at least the general cause. I wouldn't say that first off. So that's why you have something more than the average person can say, you know.
Well, and
you got to be comfortable with it anyway, but you're even more so than I am.
Yeah, because it's, you know, I used to, you know, sex is how we are here.
Yeah, right? We are.
Like, sex is the reason that we're all here. Whether your parents had sex with each other, whether they had sex, it didn't result in a child, you know, they had to use outside ways to have you come into existence. Sex played into the creation of you in some sort of way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And therefore we are born sexual and we die sexual as well. Right. And there's a whole bunch, and right now I'm really kind of diving very deep into that concept of sex and grief and how they, like, what does it mean to be a sexual human being in this time of unrest, racial, civil, historical, and health unrest. In the dis-ease, the unease of COVID and what that is, right?
That's deep, Jess. Well, you're going to have to be on at another, like after you go and research on this, you're going to have to be on again to talk about just that alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so amazing to me. Like what does it mean to be intimate, right? I'm reading this thing about intimacy and what is intimacy? It means safety, right? Intimacy is safety. And how do we feel safe? Like, how do you, when we can't even, some of us can't even feel safe around ourselves. So if you cannot be intimate with your own self, how do you
be intimate with your partner?
Yes.
Well, the other hard part, I mean, it's not on the same realm, but like a trauma or, you know, right. A previous like history of like a sexual assault, physical assault, abuse of some sort could have an effect on how they are with their partner, even if their partner is amazing. Right.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because how do you understand vulnerability? How do you understand trust?
And yeah, even I had trouble with my part. I mean, my husband and I have been together for many years. And I remember for my military trauma, it was a really struggle to be intimate again, to be like, you know, and, you know, I don't talk about it that much, but I'll talk about it in my book down the road, that I'm writing, but it is very difficult, no matter even if you have a very supportive partner, to be able to get into that space, a safe space, right?
I think not only when you think about like the sexual act, right, of intimacy, yeah, just, you know, as you know, I live with, my partner is also a war veteran, mm-hmm, right? And I was not there. I was not there that transition of coming back to here.
My husband was with me with that transition. Not very fun time, let me tell you.
No, very, very, even from what? Even the residual of what we deal with as a partnership today, mm-hmm, right, is very deep and intense. And there's a lot of work that has been done already.
Right.
But how do you, kind of goes back to that whole thing that happened with that client that I was talking about, you know, how do you embody safety when everything around you has been so unsafe, you know, And the interesting thing is that sex can be the opposite in a way too, because for some people, like just kind of disembodying, right, and leaving their body entirely during the act of sex and using it as this recreational vehicle, because sex can be recreational, right?
Right, right, right.
But this kind of recreational, you know, of removing
and not like dealing not with your emotion.
There. Yeah, not dealing with the emotion, not dealing with whatever you're feeling, just completely like just either focusing completely on the genitals themselves or leaving their body entirely with any kind of intimacy and sexuality. I mean, it's hard. I struggle with intimacy issues all the time, you know, because
I think all of us do. Like, I mean, if we pretend that we don't do it, like if we don't, I mean, I'm a new mom and I'm not trying to have, you know, sex every day. You know,
that's a whole nother thing.
Whole new body, whole new me. I'm like, oh, you know, and that's part of me always telling people, like, you got to really love yourself each and every day, even though you hate it. Like you have to really set in and go, this is who I am today. This is what I am. This is where my body is presented. And in your way, taking it intimate is another aspect of that.
Totally another aspect. Because at the time of becoming a parent, right, especially the primary caretaker, especially the female bodied person, right, you no longer become even a human person, individual. You are now Kiki's mom.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't even have a name anymore.
Right. Yeah, you're like the child. Yes, mother.
You walk into the pediatrician and they don't even say, they say, Hi, mom. How's the baby feeling? How's Kiki doing?
Yeah. Whatever.
Mom, what's Kiki eating? Mom, what's Kiki, you know, and then your partner, it's just, it's
different.
I used to talk to parents, the partner of the non-birthing parent, right? And they'd be like, oh, we're not having sex, da, 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 da. And I would say, you know, one of the easiest ways to have sex, first of all, give your partner a break, because if they're breastfeeding or chest feeding, you know, they're being touched all day. Like, they don't want to be of service to you at all. Period. Right. And they may not want to be touched because they are touch saturated at this point. Right. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that is helpful is that if that partner that gets to go out to the world and work, say how it is, right.
Right. Right. Right.
If they can bring something back that reminds them both that the parents that's at home with this new child is still an adult person, right? That is and was that person that they wanted to have sex with in the first place, that will get them into bed. You see what
I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, like, so you're kind of like,
so a stupid thing like People Magazine, like if you loved People Magazine, or if you loved, for example, if you're having body issues, and this may not be appropriate for everyone, and you can spin it to whatever works best for you. But like, if you love a Krispy Kreme donut and you've always loved Krispy Kreme donuts, mm-hmm. and they look at you and your partner were to come home and be like, I was walking by and I thought of Krispy Kreme donuts and I just know how much you love these. And I just think you look so beautiful. And I just want to hear you eat that Krispy Kreme donut. I just want to hear you love that Krispy Kreme donut. Right?
So try to find like as like something that just like turns you on or makes you excited. Yeah. Or just be real or
make
again.
Make them excited. Makes Aww. The partner excited, right? Meaning like say, so like the, let's just say, I'm just going to put it in binary terms, like the mother that is home with this child and you know that they just love that Krispy Kreme donut and it makes them feel good. And you guys took this walk one night and you went out to a bar late one night and then you
and
went
it brings back the memory
and you had those Krispy Kreme donuts and yeah. Right. And then it's cool. That, so remembering of who you both were.
Aww. Right? And that's beautiful. I mean, there's definitely plenty of times when like just my husband and I, when we're like, and that, I mean, intimacy and the sexual wellness, understanding you and your partner, that is part of being healthy. Like,
yeah,
that is part of feeling like whole. And that is part of health. Like, I don't think people are, and that's why I wanted you on this show, because I wanted you to tell people, like, people just don't say what the, like, that is part of it, you know, like, hey, I need my partner to tell me this. I need to feel wanted again. Right. Like,
or reminded, and they may
reminded,
not be,
reminded.
Sometimes when you cannot remind yourself, that is the subtle remind that, or the obvious reminder. And you go, oh yeah. And the interesting thing about that is that genitals are not involved in that scenario at all. Right.
Yeah.
Because that energy, that erotic creative energy is there mm-hmm. from just that act.
Oh,
what happens afterward is what happens afterwards, or right. nothing happens.
Right.
And that's okay too, because you've already established some intimacy. Right.
Yeah. Like with that act, it could be even like a holding in a, like it's just, and that could be another stage of sex or not, like, but that's cool. Like, I mean, I like the way you presented that. I would have never even considered that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm in reference, like, well, we can probably tie on to that. When you're talking about like the sexual thing, and did you have a struggle that kind of brought you into that? Or was it just like you were in med surg, or like, I'm talking about sex, this is like so comfortable for me. And now this is kind of what I should be doing now from now. Like you're like, my passion is, you know, trying to really find a holistic approach in many aspects. And then it's like, you were like, sex is totally the thing that is, I know people need to learn and be more intimate and it just gets them to a better place. It's like, was there something that kind of struggled that got you into that? Was there a past experience, or was it something positive? It doesn't always have to be negative.
Well, I think my own intimacy issues, like in trust and kind of, I have a history of trauma, like sexual trauma.
Yeah.
Like one out of four females.
Yeah. I mean, we're all, people, I mean, right? I'm in the number, unfortunately. Yeah. I wish I wasn't, yeah. But I am.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely have. And it wasn't a one-time thing. I mean, I have
histories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definite histories, and even medical professionals. So like, you know, and also evolving. I think that I have a family that kind of, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's one thing. I did have one very deep realization at one point. I was in a relationship and I left it. And in this very abusive relationship, when we would talk about sex and sexuality, I'd get very closed off when I was with this person. very closed off. And it was after I left them. And I realized that I actually started dating other people and like, and I'm talking about therapy. I've done a lot of therapy, right?
But I mean, you've put the work in. Like, so you're saying you're doing, it's not a negative that you did the therapy. You did the therapy to put the work in. This place, like doing this podcast and being like, I was amazing right now. It took me years of time and working on myself to finally say, if I can get myself in this situation, now I can kind of get people to understand where they need to be. You can't help others without helping yourself.
No. Yeah. Here's the deal. I had a story in my head that I was believing from that partner who was telling me that I was not interested. I was not receptive. I was, you know, just all these different things. And that was the story that I started to question when I realized, no, this person is abusive, right? Ugh. And
so sorry.
And it was very tangible. It was a very tangible thing. If we were out in public and they were kind, I would want to be intimate. Mm-hmm. Right. And when we got behind closed doors and they were everything but kind, I would be closed off.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was this story that I was telling myself that, that I had to really reimagine and rethink and be like, that is a fucking story. That is a fucking lie. That is not who I am, right? In actuality, I'm very in touch with my erotic sense. I'm very in touch with this body that is strong, that is juicy, that is soft in certain places, that has different colors in the different areas, that grows hair this way and grows hair in that way and doesn't grow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Smells good, you know, all of these things. Like these are all stories that we're told, we don't smell, and I'm not talking about this partner, I'm talking about it's like society, like with the Summer's Eve and the Massengill or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
things to cover up, to cover up all of it.
Like our periods are dirty, all of these things, you know what I mean? Like, it's like this kind of greater stories that we buy into. And then these intimate stories that we buy into that are just not true. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that might be one of the things that as I talk to clients and we kind of understand who we want to be, right? Who we imagine our future selves to be, or in that kind of concept, like when I get so-and-so, then I will be this thing, or when, you know what I mean?
When I do this, I get that. When I do that.
Yeah. I'll give you a perfect example. I used to do live poetry. I used to like go up and do poetry, right? And I stopped doing it. And I have this big story in my head. When I get pregnant, right? Because there would be some protection with being this obviously pregnant person, right? Nobody's going to judge me in this weird way. When I become pregnant, then I will start to do live poems again. Like what kind of story? Like,
what is that?
What?
Yeah.
Like, why can't I just create now? Like, just create now.
But that was some sort of like repetitive pattern in your mind that you think of sometimes.
Yeah, this like fake, weird, and I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah, an example, but just something like
that kind of false fake story. Like when I am in this stage of my life, then I will be creative.
Yeah.
Myself permission to be creative. Like, why do we need this very dramatic thing in order to produce
some creative moment or thing?
Yeah, or creative moment.
Or just being you, like finding that space for yourself again. You needed the pregnancy to be, I mean, that's just an example, but you need an item to be creative. And I think it's just being okay with that moment of, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. And like people, like when I get that partner, then I will feel loved. When I lose weight,
I'll feel
sexy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel, if I do this, I'll feel sexy. Right. If I, If I show like, yeah, there's like you, I guess that's a perception of maybe society too. And also being like, you really, I always bring it back to like mindful self-awareness. Like it is hard to be real with the real stuff. Like this is just one aspect of real stuff. And intimacy is one of the most hardest things to talk about in yourself. Like, you know, I mean, you're talking just you being intimate with yourself, never mind adding the partner there.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, that is just such a, it's hard to put yourself in that position. You know, like I can only imagine how it is to coach some of these patients, but it's probably, do you enjoy
patients, it? They're clients.
Oh, they're clients. Fine. So sorry. Right. I say
I don't patients. Use my license. No, I know. I do that same thing. I do the same thing.
Clients. Have you like throughout this time, I mean, being, you know, we don't have to go over an actual scenario, but when you're talking with your clients and you're talking to them about growing, you know, and building up this wellness effect of, and kind of trying to be intimate, does it dive into other things? Like what comes up for people, not just their intimacy, what also comes up?
So right now I have a client and they came to me because they were having issues in their relationship. And it wasn't necessarily sexual, but it's evolved into this. I've had patients come to me because they couldn't. I'll give you another scenario, but they're having intimacy issues, right? And it's actually evolved into this conversation about intuition and trusting your guts and what that's like. And it's not even about the relationship. In fact, the relationship is kind of going away at this point, right? Mm-hmm. But what does it mean to truly trust your gut? And this person has actually had body issues around their physical belly, right? So what does that mean to love that physical belly and trust it, right? And so that kind of anger around the actual physical belly has evolved into this conversation of, actually, I don't want to lose my belly because I find comfort in my belly. I like to rest my hands on my belly. My belly is soft. My belly is, you know, really just falling in love with this belly.
And loving you, like loving at that moment, loving that person who they are and being and okay with them right now.
And trusting it. Trusting that really deep inner knowing.
I mean, the most not crazy thing is, but like as a nurse, we know the intuition throughout our years of practice, but intuition and gut feeling and knowing now what I've learned through the years is that like the gut is really that third brain, that third immune system. And it's like, and you're telling these people, it's okay to have your belly. It's okay to love who you are. And sometimes, you know, but society may tell them different or they may feel something different. And you're trying to transition and get them to feel okay with them. They're having them be okay with that moment so they can grow or just be more intimate.
Well, it's also just because it's not really about the intimacy will having partnered intimacy will follow and evolve into this other thing because this person will no longer accept. Like what was is no longer in alignment for them, right? What was is just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't. Yeah. And for this person who comes from a very deep, deep, deep leadership place, right? And is a leader, you know, like a leader in their
right in their field and what they're doing, right?
Right. What does it mean to be in that erotic essence as a leader?
Yeah.
Like, how do we redefine? And it's funny because you had said something about a quote and I'm writing a piece right now for something else. And I'm rereading Audre Lorde's essays and particularly the essay, The Use of the Erotic as Power. And she has, can I read you a quote?
Yeah, I would love for you to read it.
Okay. So it says, in short step, she says, in short step from there, and she's talking about power and essence, power. And she's talking about, as women, we come to distrust the power that rises from our deepest non-rational knowledge, right? So, in short step from there to the false belief that only by suppression of the erotic within our lives and consciousness can women truly be strong, but that strength is illusionary, for it is fashioned within the context of male models of power. Right. So,
wow.
Yeah. And I don't just work with female bodied people, right? Mm-hmm. One of my first clients happened to be a man, and I've worked a lot with men. And what does that mean to be erotic? And what does it mean to,
that means you're going to have to be on the show again. I mean, we're going to have to dive in and on another part, but just give a little tidbit before we end the show today.
It's just like when we talk about male and female and all these kind of binaries, like if you look at like a 9-week old gestating thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And what is going to be female and what is going to be male, the parts are exactly the fucking same,
mm-hmm.
right? So we are all the same in a certain way. And we need to understand this erotic energy, whether we're male or female, right?
Whatever they call yourself.
Non-binary, non-binary is even the best, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Sense, right? Because mm-hmm. like letting go, that's the gorgeous thing about this thing, these teenagers right now, these really young people who are really playing with identity, because this kind of understanding of saying, my intuition, my gut feeling, my erotic sense, right? The sensual, the creative is truly as important as, you know, whatever we define as leadership. Anyway, the point is that.
No, I think that's real. I mean, I like how you're putting that your erotic sense brings you power, but it's understanding that intuition to grow so that's different from everyone. And that's why they hire someone like you to really find that within themselves. And that's not easy to find. And I'm going to say it on my end, that wouldn't be something that I would have thought of, but it makes sense as I'm looking and observing. And so I appreciate you discussing that. So yeah. I just wanted to, say thank you so much I don't want to cut you short today, I want you back on the show because I really feel like you have such a wealth of knowledge and so much more to bring into this show. And so, I just wanted to say, is there one more takeaway that you wanted to say to the audience about how you're mindful each and every day?
I do a practice every day, whether it's a minute or however long I can do it, where I forgive, I have gratitude, and then I imagine what is possible and feel what is possible. And that was taught to me by my coach, and it's really very helpful. So,
and then is there a way that we can reach base? I'll have all your links in the show notes, but is there anything that's upcoming that we can find you?
I guess Instagram, I'm pretty active on Instagram. And so that's Jessica_Jolie, J-O-L-I-E.
Okay. Is there an event that's coming up, or you just want people to check you out on Instagram and on the links?
Yeah, no events that I'm aware okay. of.
All right. Well, I really want them to check you out. So I'll have your information in the show notes, and I'll have them email or message you on Instagram. Great. And I really, really appreciate you being on the show. This is just, the thing is, it's so much more that we need to dive in here because it's such a deep topic that we don't discuss. And sex is part of our wellness, and it is part of our, not just intimacy, but like to grow. If you don't know who you are within, you're not going to be able to grow out. So yeah. I thanks for, putting that message out. And thank Mindfully you. Integrative Podcast audience, I want to thank you for, joining in and having this mindful chat with Jessica, our erotic coach and counselor. You are amazing, and I appreciate your time, and I hope each and every day you find a mindful way. Thanks again for joining in.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Mindfully Integrative with Dr. Damaris G. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you enjoyed our show, support us by leaving a mindful review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite streaming site. If you would like to be a guest of our show or interview, email us at info@damarismaria.com. If you want to learn more about the resources mentioned in the podcast, you can find those in the show notes. To connect mindfully with Dr. Damaris G., reach her at www.damarismaria.com or connect via social media links. We appreciate your time connecting here with us. May your strength and peace within bring you more balance every day. Namaste.